Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size. If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double-barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is 2A Tuesday, brought to you by the Range St. Louis West.
Always looking forward to 2A Tuesday. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Cox. Joining us now is State Senator-elect Brad Hutson. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Hey, it's good to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Just a quick little breaking news story that's coming through here. So American Airlines earlier today were grounded. They had a technical issue. Looking at WTOP, a big news organization in DC, saying that now they're boarding their flights. So it looks like that technical delay, hopefully they're going to be able to move past it. What a worst day can you think of to get grounded when you're trying to travel for a Christmas? So hopefully everyone that may be flying today gets to their destination, and albeit if it's a couple hours late, you'll take that based on it could have been not happening at all this morning. So anyone trying to go on American Airlines. All right, so let's talk about some of the priorities we're going to be looking at starting next year in Missouri. And what are some of these bills that have to do with the Second Amendment? And there's one particular that I think there was one that you proposed, but there's another one you're supporting that's going on. What's going on with that?
So I have pre-filed Senate Bill 74, which would expand and add teeth to Missouri's firearm preemption laws. Currently, in the state of Missouri, we do not allow political subdivisions, that would be cities and counties, to enact ordinances that are gun control stricter than what state law allows, with the exception of open carry. What my bill would do make it to where cities and counties cannot act any firearms ordinance that's stricter in Missouri law than Missouri law in any way, including open carry. It would add teeth to Missouri's firearm preemption law in that it would allow individuals to sue the political subdivisions that would violate their Second Amendment rights. So this is, if you look at Jackson County and the ordinance that was the illegal ordinance that was passed last month, I think it was, what we're trying to do here is to prevent counties and cities from violating the Second Amendment rights of their citizens.
Okay, so why would this be necessary? Why, so individual areas, they kind of have their own, people, their own feel to it. They want to have their own laws. So why not allow places like St. Louis or some of these other places to have their own regulations?
Yeah, I can appreciate that question. And on many things, I am certainly in favor of local control. But not local control when it comes to something that would violate the constitutional rights of a citizen. Political subdivisions are created by the state. The state has a responsibility to protect the God-given rights of the citizens of that state. And so the Constitution recognizes you've got a right to keep and bear arms, and that shouldn't change just because you cross the city limit sign.
So let's look at some of the problems that I think people run into. I'll just take St. Louis as an example, that they don't honestly know what the laws are. Right. A lot of times the people that the police are busting are the ones that are just going to ignore whatever law is being brought up to begin with. So what would something like this do to help protect those that are law abiding citizens?
Yeah. So that's a good point. So a lot of folks need to understand that there's a reason that when you look at a lot of these places that have some of the most violence and crime that firearms are involved in also has some of the strictest gun control laws. When you have a situation where law-abiding citizens cannot defend themselves, then you have a situation where law-abiding citizens are in danger. And so it's not right for governments to disarm law-abiding citizens, because we know criminals, by definition, do not obey the law. And so if you have law-abiding citizens and you tell them they can't carry, you tell them they can't possess a firearm, then how are they going to protect themselves from those that don't care what the law says anyway?
Can I bring up, I don't know if this would help or not, but let me bring up an example that happened in New York, this Daniel Penny effect. And you probably have seen over the weekend that poor woman burned alive. You had an illegal immigrant that watched it, you know, that not only perpetrated it and sat there and watched this poor woman burn to death. And all these bystanders were watching, pulling out their phones, and they're calling it the Daniel Penny effect because no one stepped in to help. And it's just a horrific, sad, terrible thing. Do you feel like in Missouri, in some of these areas, that there may be people that would step in to help, but they're afraid that if it was revealed they had a concealed or any type of firearm on them, that, you know what, my life will be ruined if I try to save someone else's life. So, you know, I'm not going to bother doing it. Do you think perhaps laws like this would help bystanders protect other people that are becoming victims as well?
I think so. I think it absolutely would. Listen, we've got some areas in our state where crime is a significant issue, and you cannot, as great as the men and women of law enforcement are, and as well as they do their jobs, you cannot expect that they're going to be everywhere at all times. We need citizens that are willing to step in and do the right thing, and until we empower them to do that, until we realize that we've got responsibilities as citizens, then we're going to continue to have these pockets of our state that are lawless societies and pockets of our country that are that way as well.
What do you think? Do you think there's a pretty good chance that this gets serious consideration here in 2025?
I think so. I've been having some good conversations with people that are connected to both sides of the building. I know we're going to have some good allies in the House that are going to be all for this. And I've made it one of my top priorities in the Missouri Senate. So I think we're going to have a good conversation about this. Missouri already recognizes that we are a 2A state, that we believe in protecting a citizen's right to keep and bear arms. And, you know, there are a whole lot of folks in, that work in that Capitol building in Jefferson City that ran on protecting the Second Amendment. So here's a way we can do that. And so I'm optimistic that we're going to have a path forward on this and certainly be able to have some good conversations about it.
From District 33, Brad Hudson joining us here on 2A Tuesday. Let me bring up an argument that what I heard a lot over the years in St. Louis, which was police would say this, the mayor would say this, different politicians, and keep in mind St. Louis is St. Louis. You know where they stand on these things. But nonetheless, they would say that when you allow for this, it gives people the opportunity to use the gun in a legal way. So let's say it may start off with them being able to just carry, and there's nothing wrong based on these laws to do that. But then they get into an argument and, oh, look at that. They just happen to have the gun, so they're going to use the gun in a way to hurt someone else. And then they use it in an illegal way. So their mindset is, you know what, if we can just eliminate it altogether, then we'll stop having crime. So that's basically their mindset with all of this. So what would you say to those, the politicians, in some cases, even those ranking police officials that say that this is actually counterproductive?
Yeah, I totally disagree with that logic. Disarming law-abiding citizens is never the answer. Again, criminals, by definition, they are, they don't care what the law says, and there are going to be criminals out there that possess firearms, that have firearms, and you know, the Jackson County ordinance is a good example of a political subdivision that wants to do something, but they're doing the wrong thing. Yeah. They're making it illegal, with some exceptions, but they're making it illegal for individuals under 21 to possess firearms. Think about that for a minute. They are disarming young adults. That is not the right direction to go with this. We cannot infringe upon an individual's constitutional rights because some folks violated the law. This is not the answer. This is not the way that we make our community safer.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, there was an argument I heard years ago by Trey Gowdy. I always enjoyed him when he was serving. I think he was in South Carolina, but essentially, can you think of any other constitutional protections that are asked to be waived based on someone else violating them? Imagine if your First Amendment protections were waived because someone else used them in a way that shouldn't have been used illegally. We couldn't imagine anyone else's rights being taken away based on how someone else used them. And then why wouldn't we also protect the Second Amendment that way? So I think that's important. If people wanted to look you up online, Brad, by the way, where can you go?
Yeah, that's great. So we don't have official Senate contact information because I won't officially become a state senator until January the 8th. But I am on Facebook at Brad Hudson for Missouri. I'm on X at Brad underscore Hudson underscore. And we're looking forward to hitting the ground running come January.
Wonderful. Good luck to you, Brad Hudson's Senate District 33 here in Missouri. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me on.
Get more at 971talk.com.